All right, what is up, nerds? Welcome to the latest episode of Memory Lane. I am your host, Kevin, and I am always joined by...
Co-pilot Scott.
What's up, Chewbacca? which is technically wrong. I'm Chewbacca. I'm driving.
Yeah.
And you're cool as shit, Han Solo.
That's right.
Always Scott, always ready to shoot first.
That's right.
That's right, ladies. So, We are on our way to WonderCon today, and
yeah.
So I thought it would be fun for us to talk about our convention memories.
There's a lot of them.
And I know, Scott, you go all the way back to, you know, Comic-Con as a young person. And
yep. Well, no.
And
no, I went all the way back to Comic-Con as a 20-year-old, yeah.
Did you? I thought you had gone, like, in your... Because I went in high school a couple of times. That's the youngest I started going.
The first time that I went to Comic-Con was about a year after Julie and I got married. So that is 21 years ago.
I was just saying, that's like 68, right?
Yeah, exactly. 1968. Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, so what was your first year for Comic-Con then?
That would be 1998.
Oh, I started going before you did.
Yeah.
Hey,
but before that... we had gone to...
Not really a brag.
Humble brag, right? We had gone to a Star Trek convention once, just to see what that was like. It was weird. And there used to be a show called StarCon that we would go to that was in Pasadena and had a whole bunch of just all sorts of all-encompassing nerd shit.
I used to go, I think before Comic-Con, I had stumbled onto, I think it was billed as like a horror convention, but it was in like Glendale at like the Shriners Auditorium or something like that. It was a, you know, just a big barn kind of thing, and they had a bunch of vendors there selling like VHS cassette tapes and random
this
and that, and you could get like bootleg scripts of things.
At every convention you go to, and I am expecting it to be no different here at WonderCon today, I expect to see that really tall dude with the bleached white hair wearing all black who sells all the bootlegs of, you know, like
everything.
Justice League pilot from 1989, and
there's
that
like
one guy who kind of looks like Peter Murphy or a vampire or something.
He's in Men in Black 2. He was the guy in the newspaper booth with the pug dog.
Yes, yeah,
that guy.
Yep, that guy.
So early on, I think Comic-Con was when I started doing like full-on conventions outside of like these weird one-day kind of nerd meetups that nowadays are super common and way more organized.
Oh yeah.
But this at that time, it was straight up just nerds in t-shirts and nobody in a costume. If there was somebody in a costume, they were like at somebody's booth like advertising or displaying something from like a movie, and that was
the first time I really experienced the whole cosplay thing, back whenever it was just called, you know, wearing a costume.
Mm-hmm.
It was the time that Julie and I, we went and we took my sister with us. My sister was like 16 at the time, to a Star Trek convention in Pasadena. And it was, you know, the entire cast of DS9, and they were introducing the cast of Voyager to the general public.
Right.
And so you always hear, you know, people get dressed up to go to Star Trek conventions. So I'm like, okay, cool. We'll get a couple costumes. Julie had... my mom made Julie and Sarah costumes, and I had a little captain's uniform or shirt, so I just wore black pants and a captain's shirt. And
simple. Some boots or something?
Exactly. Yeah. And we went, and what an experience, man. What a weird... I had some guy approach me, and he had two women on either side of him, and he's like, I see you're a captain. What ship are you from? And I'm like...
The Trekkie thing.
I'm from Victorville area. I don't have a starship. I'm just here to buy toys.
Yeah, they got into the costuming and like immersion role play of that world.
It's like the dawn of cosplay itself, you know?
Kind of. Because I know they at Comic-Con in like the 70s and 80s, they did have, you know, cosplay, you know, costume contests and stuff.
Yeah.
But you'd have maybe like 30 or 40 people come in with like their cute, quaint little homemade costumes that were adorable, and like, look at that fan, you know, that's awesome. And
but the Star Trek convention, man, it was the first time that, I mean, these people took it seriously. They wanted me to join them on their away missions to some fucking place, and I'm like, no.
I'll just sidetrack here real quick to the Renaissance Fair that I worked at. And people would come in Trekkie uniforms, and they're like, oh, we're on a holodeck adventure. And I'm like, no, you're an asshole. And I'm like, you are an old asshole, like whatever old English I had to. And them and
thou art a twat.
Yes.
Wow.
Set phasers to fuck off.
So, yeah, that was my first experience with, like, costuming at a convention. All Otherwise, before that, we would go to there was the StarCon. And, man, back in 94, 95, whenever we went to StarCon, it was... If I had been collecting vintage Star Wars toys at the time, it would have been, or G.I. Joe's, it would have been the place to go because everything, it was like $5 a figure, $10 a vehicle. It was, there was extremely low prices on everything, and I would just miss the boat so bad on that.
I think it, the sci-fi horror con that I went to in Glendale, Pasadena, wherever it was at, there was a guy there who was doing like custom G.I. Joe figures as other characters. So he had an Ash Williams figure that I thought was the coolest thing I'd ever seen, and he only wanted like 10 or 15 bucks for it. But you know, in the 90s, 10 or 15 bucks, that was kind of a lot of them. That's a tank of gas. And I'm like, I don't know, I just can't. But they were, and I was like, same kind of thing, that people had really cool little wares and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Going back to Comic-Con, I started going, I want to say 95 was the first year that I went.
Okay.
Because I had my own car and could drive myself down there finally.
Cool.
And I stayed at my aunt and uncle's house, who they lived like an hour from the convention center, but it was still better than the 2.5 hours that I lived. So
right.
Stayed at their house, and that I believe the first year we went, we just went down like on a Sunday and just walked up, bought a ticket, went in.
Yeah.
And experienced like, okay, cool. And you know, there's, it was huge and there was too much to do in one day. So we went again in 96, and a buddy of mine went with me, and we figured out we could get on the volunteer list and get free passes for the whole run of the show. So we're like, all right, well, let's just go down for the weekend. We can do, you know, 2 days or 3 days and stuff like that. And the process, like the organization for being a volunteer, doesn't surprise me now, seeing how poorly run like their website organization is and things like that. Was like nobody knew who we were, why we were there, where we were supposed to go. But we did eventually get passes. We had to like go across town to pick them up.
Oh, wow.
And then some supervisor somewhere, we got shuffled around to like, yeah, just stand in front of like Hall H door and tell people to go line up over there. And we're like, for how long? And like, just until somebody comes to relieve you, probably a couple hours. And they're like, So
9 hours later,
we did our first shift of like 2 or 3 hours, and then we got like a lunch break, and I was talking to my buddy. I'm like, dude, there's no accountability here. Like, let's just bail. Like, we have our passes. Like, let's just go.
Nice.
And he was like, no, we made a promise. They're going to catch us and throw us out. I'm like, so if they throw us out, we didn't pay for anything. We'll just go home. Like, so we did. We just bailed on him and enjoyed the rest of that day and the next day with our free passes to get in.
That's funny.
And like, screw you as well. Because it was seriously, it was like not organized, and we were just like standing around doing nothing.
Wow.
We're like, why are no one will miss us.
Yeah. Well, the first couple of years we went, it was right at the craze of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel and all that. So that was the big draw to get my wife to go. Ah. It's like, we can go and you can, you know, maybe meet the cast of Buffy and all that. And sure as shit, man, we got there and you were able to walk right into the hall and sit down and watch a panel and then follow them over and get autographs and pictures taken with them and all that. And it was super fun and easy to get around.
I remember that too, being able to just be like, oh, what panel's playing? Let's go check it out. And then just walking over to the next panel and sitting in
Absolutely.
On that one.
I don't know how many years in a row I got to see Kevin Smith's stand-up where he would just stand there and tell stories, you know, before he would go out on tour and do that kind of thing. He used to do it at Comic-Con, and it was so much fun.
Awesome.
And so funny to watch him talk.
I remember early on the Fantastic Four, the Harvey Korman Fantastic Four movie was being promoted at Con one of those years that I was there. And they had the guy with the Thing costume there.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of walking around, and I remember getting a bunch of like Fantastic Four swag that they passed out for that, and swag was always fun. I always the old like buttons and little free posters. I'd come home with like a poster tube with like 40 posters in it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just kind of try and get one from every booth.
Yep.
And, you know, as a kid, you try and find wall space to hang a lot of that stuff up and then just tear it down and replace it the next year with something else.
The year it started, taking a turn because we did Comic-Con 18 years in a row, or at least I did. Julie bailed, I want to say after a good 15 years, she bailed on Comic-Con, mm-hmm. and I would just, I'd ride on other people's coattails to get down there and everything. I don't think I paid for a pass for the last 5 years that I went because I had a buddy who would just be like, you want this? I'm like, yeah, maybe, sure. But it started taking a turn in 2000 whenever the X-Men movie debuted.
Uh-huh.
And we're sitting around, we're standing around, the place is crowded as fuck, and they were, it just, you know, you'd have the cast of X-Men suddenly, and it started becoming more Hollywood, and just busier and busier and busier. And there was one time, Van Helsing was coming out, that movie, I think it was, what, 2002, 3, or something like that? And Kate Beckinsale and Hugh Jackman were there. And this was the pinnacle for Jules. She got to meet Hugh Jackman and go actually talk to him and get a photo taken with him. And
right.
And after that, she's like, I'm out.
I think the jump the shark moment was the Twilight movies.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Those were
then
awful.
That started bringing in, because those aren't really comic book related movies.
Yeah.
They're just pop culture movies. And then that started bringing in, I'll just say, your non nerd crowd.
Right.
You know, people who are nerdy about those movies, obviously, or fans of those movies, but that started bringing in, that was a big shift there. And then it started being a lot of like TV shows and just non comic book adjacent things altogether.
Yeah. Well, the TV shows always kind of had some kind of a presence there, but you're right. It was that, the Twilight turn, as you say.
Yeah.
And that's whenever it became impossible to get into Hall H. Because you used to be able to just walk right into Hall H. Because
it's gigantic. It holds, what, like 3,000 people.
You just
walk in and out anytime you want.
Yeah. And I remember sitting in those chairs for hours just watching movie trailers and people come up and talk. And yeah, mm-hmm. It was just, yeah.
So around 2006 or 2007, we had completed the feature film that I made when I was up in Seattle.
Right.
And it was touring film circuits or film festival circuit, and that qualified me for a pro pass.
Nice.
So for 3 years I had a pro pass and was able to go, tried to go, I think I went at least 2 out of those 3 years with my pro pass, around 2008, 2009, something like that. My wife went with me 1 year. I went a couple of times in the early stages of our G.I. Joe costume club.
Uh-huh.
And so I went as Cobra Trooper, and by that point in 2009, let's just say it was 2009. Costuming was like, by that point, cosplay was full swing.
Yeah.
That was what people were doing when they went to Comic-Con. And there was more cosplay than there were people in regular street clothes, it seemed. And it just became this sort of like place to go show off your costume. And it also was like, are people here for the convention or are they just here to show off their costume and be seen? And
yeah, yeah. No, I get that.
And that's sort of what we're driving into today for WonderCon, which is, it's fine. Oh. I enjoy seeing the costumes.
Oh, hey, look, Disneyland.
But they...
Dead ahead.
Yeah, I know. Well, we are headed to Anaheim.
We are.
It is across the street, so good job, Scott.
Thanks. I found it. I found it.
I do enjoy seeing all the costumes, but they do add an awful lot of crowdedness to the floor when it's obvious that there's just people walking around waiting for people to take their photo rather than like visiting the vendors and buying stuff and supporting, you know, the people who are there with, you know, the artists and the vendors with their tables and stuff. And that's what we're going today to do.
Yep.
Is do some shopping and see some artists and go home with some new art and toys and who knows what.
But that's the thing, and that's what made me first start to reevaluate going to Comic-Con was the cosplay aspect of it. It's really cool to see these costumes, but whenever you're in the main hall of Comic-Con and you're trying to just get from point A to point B,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a herd of people just surrounding you and all over you, and all of a sudden they just stop and to take a photo of some girl in a Witchblade costume.
Yeah, I was like Deadpool for the 100th time.
Right.
It just got old really fast. They do
kind
of corral it to keep people from congregating in the intersections and
aisles.
They try. In an ideal world, there'd be like, all right, if you're obviously just like a fan wearing like a Spider-Man t-shirt and a cheesy costume mask, go on in, you know, do your shopping and have fun. But if you're the other obvious side of the coin, which is like a pro costumer, cosplay person, you know, with your 12-foot wings,
right.
We're going to have you stay out here. You can't enter the convention floor in costume.
And that I appreciate. I think that's a good idea, is to try and corral those as much as possible in the lobby.
It doesn't happen.
No.
But it'd be nice if it did.
It did.
And Anaheim, I will say, they have a really large outdoor area in front of the convention center that has a... It's almost like a amphitheater type of steps, and people are good about like signing up for time slots for taking large group photos there,
right?
And just sort of parading around in the large plaza outside of the convention center with a lot of the cosplay, and or at least in the hallway inside. It's been years since I've been there, so I could be wrong. In about a half an hour, let's be more realistic, hour and a half. Once we're on the floor,
I think
it's telling me to go the next one.
Oh, okay.
We'll see how it is now. If it's just as crowded inside with people doing cosplay, or if it's all inside.
Yeah. So, San Diego,
yes.
San Diego Comic Con. You would, once upon a time, you could go to the show, like you were saying, walk up, buy a ticket, see the show,
yep.
have the adventure, and then you could. There was always little clipboards with little pieces of paper and a little pencil. Where you could plop your ass down in the lobby mm-hmm. and sign up for the next year. And that's what we would do. We would go to the show, and I'd look at Jules, and I'd say, hey, you want to come next year? And she's like, yeah, why not? So you'd sit down in the lobby, fill out your little form, pay your $20 or whatever for next year.
Right.
$40 for a full pass, and sign up, and you'd be covered. Now, it's a goddamn nightmare in some kind of... You got to, like, pray to the gods. You have to have a couple of human sacrifices. You got to try and win the lottery.
Their website lottery and Jesus, it's... I mean, they're doing the best they can for...
Are they, though?
Well, you got 200,000 people that want to go, and they've only got 60,000 tickets.
Yeah.
So, they're doing the best they can to... make it fair. The technology side of it is not being handled very well.
Yeah, and every year I get my notification. Still, I haven't been in 4 or 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, though, I still get the notification. Now's your time to hop on and sign up for next year's Comic-Con. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Nope. No. You can shove that right up your ass. I ain't going.
So since this is memory lane, here's a Comic-Con memory.
Yes.
A buddy of mine for his birthday had always loved Comic-Con. Hadn't gotten to go forever and ever. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to take him for his birthday. And this is again probably 2007 or 8, somewhere in there. And so I'm like, look, let's. I just picked him up. Said we're going to San Diego, and he's like, all right. And we drive down to San Diego on a Sunday, and this is about 2007 or so.
Okay.
Right? And now this is having not been to Comic-Con for about 10 years. Right?
Okay.
This is my first time going back, so I'm just remembering what it was in the mid 90s.
Right.
And so we drive down and we try and park anywhere near the convention center, and it's just gridlock. And we spent like 2 hours just trying to get in and out of the gridlock, and finally found. Like a hotel that had open underground parking. It was about a mile and a half away.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So now we, side note, they're having a heat wave in San Diego this particular weekend.
Uh-huh.
And in San Diego, it had to have been 95 to 100 degrees. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so now we're walking about a mile and a half in the heat. And we get down and we're like, okay, where's the line for tickets, you know, to buy tickets to get in today? And they're like, oh, you have to go to this line. We're like, what? We usually just walk up and just buy them. They're like, no, this is the line for people don't have tickets to get in for today. And I'm like, okay. So we go outside and the line goes, goes the full length of the building down the sidewalk,
mm-hmm.
makes a left, goes the full length of the down the side of the building, and then it makes a right and goes about a half mile down the harbor.
Oh my god.
Away from, and this is just single file line.
Wow.
And we just kept going and going, and we're like, okay, this is weird. and not right. Like, there's no way all these people are getting in. Like, what the? So we get in line and we're trying to like wait for information. And there's Comic-Con volunteers.
we know how useless those guys are.
Who are trying to yell over the crowd, like, if you have your pass, you don't belong in this line, come with us. And so they're pulling out a few people here and there out of the line. And, you know, we were in line about another 2 hours, and it's just real slowly creeping.
Yeah.
We're like, all right, it's creeping and it's creeping. And then we get back to now where we've moved the full length of the harbor in about 2 hours. But now we're still at, like, the back corner of the convention center and still have to wrap the full length of the convention center.
Twice.
All the way around. And then get into the queue inside. But you're right. Okay. So we see somebody about, you know, rumor starts going around that they're actually sold out and none of these people are getting in.
Yeah.
But they're not telling anybody for some reason. And we, I'll cut to the chase, basically. We got talking to an EMT. And the EMT confirmed for us that, yes, the ticket sales are closed. No one's getting in unless you have a ticket. And they were the only reason the line was moving is because people were passing out from the heat, and the EMTs were hauling them away.
Oh, my God.
So people having heat stroke, standing in line, waiting to get in for an event that sold out, and nobody is telling them.
And that's the problem with Comic-Con.
And so now it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. We have spent all day waiting, sweating, waiting, walking, sweating, waiting, and now,
and the hall closes at like 4 or 5 o'clock,
right? And we're like, well, this sucked, so we did the long ass trek back to the car and went home.
Oh God.
It was after that I got my pro pass a year or two later and started going for free because I knew I could get in and expected there to be madness at that point. And it was crazy. So.
The last genuinely good time I had at Comic-Con was around the time that Green Lantern, the animated series, was out. And it had already pretty much been canceled.
Mm-hmm.
But the show was still being, it was still in the animating process, you know. Everybody had already gotten their walking papers and all that, but the show was in Korea or wherever it is being actually animated. So Jake had gotten me in, and he got me in with a pro, with, I don't know if it was a pro pass or a...
a guest of a pro or something like that. Yeah.
So I had access to backstage where they had refreshment stands and all that. And Julie and I could pretty much go anywhere we wanted at any time. And this was a great time. I got to go into the panel and got to bypass the line to get into the panel. And it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
And yeah. And that,
I've
that
always
was
wanted to hook up with somebody, but I've never had a connection.
Yeah.
Where somebody can just like, yeah, just come in with us, and then you got like free reign to, you know, kind of go wherever and kind of get the VIP.
Well, it was cool because he gave me a t-shirt, and the t-shirt had Hal Jordan on the front and had the crew logo on the side, on the shoulder. And
nice.
I got to hang out with the crew. Yeah. So I'm hanging out with Giancarlo Volpe and all these other people who are big wigs in Warner Brothers Animation and all that. And it was a lot of fun. And after that, I was like, I don't think I can top this.
Nice.
So, but Comic-Con celebrities. Did you meet any cool celebrities at any point in time?
I got to meet Rob Liefeld once by him being at the top of his career. This is in the 90s.
Okay.
And he
so
has,
we're talking full-on pouches, no feet,
correct.
Horrible
and,
hands.
And he's got his entourage of like 20 people bubbling him, right? And they are just juggernauting through the aisle.
Okay.
And just shoving people out of the way. Here comes King Liefeld.
Oh, Jesus.
And somehow I got pinballed in between people to where I ended up in the middle, face-to-face with Rob Liefeld, as his entourage is, you know, coursing through us.
Right.
And I just shoulder checked him as hard as I could.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was just like, sorry. It just.
God.
So that's how I got to meet Rob. Because at the time, like, not a big fan of him or his art.
Right.
And, or, you know, and now it's funny to see him sharing a 6-foot table at you know, cons sometimes.
Right. We might see him today.
We might.
You can say hi.
I'll remind him of that story. See if he still has the bruise. It was hard. I was never really into, I still am not really into meeting celebrities. I feel weird talking to them from the other side of the table.
Yeah.
even now doing the podcast as an interview, like, oh, I'm actually here to interview you, so I know they're going to talk to me.
Right.
But just as a fan, walking up to the table like, I'm a big fan. Thanks. Okay, bye. Like, I, like, what do you?
It's a tough one sometimes.
I feel like the extent of the conversation should just be me saying, thanks for doing that thing you did, and then just walking off.
Right.
Like, I don't need anything in return. I don't care about a photo, you know, any of that.
The easiest one was, the easiest one was whenever we were at, we were in San Diego, and there was a table, and Sean Astin was at the table. And we're sitting there just chatting with Sean Astin. His lunch shows up, so he's eating lunch. And we are literally sitting there at his table just conversating with him about Rudy and Lord of the Rings and all of these other things. Well, he's eating his Panda Express and talking to us about how he never knew that he could, you know, go to a convention, sign some autographs, and, you know, make money off of this kind of thing. So it was a lot of fun to actually meet and talk to him for the better part of an hour.
Yeah, now, like, some of the celebrities, like, that's all they do, and they make a lot of money doing it. Like, they're paid to be there, or at least their you know, their hotel and travel is paid to get them there.
Right.
And then whatever they make is the selling the autographs and photos throughout the day, and someone can make, you know, 10 grand on a weekend, maybe more.
There used to be an unspoken rule where it was, if you were inside the hall, you were a guest of whoever, like, say, DC Comics or Marvel Comics or whatever, and you could not pay charge people for an autograph if you were inside the hall.
Okay.
That anybody that charged had to be up under the sales, up above.
I gotcha.
Okay. So, but that, I want to say it was probably around 2004, 2005, that really changed. And it's like, nope, every man for himself. Here's, you know, $50 for an autograph for, I think the last autograph I paid for was probably, actually, the last autograph I paid for was Bruce Boxleitner.
Mm-hmm.
I had to meet Tron because the dude was there and he was talking. It was after the last Tron movie.
Okay.
And they were in negotiations about a sequel. And just having a conversation with him about how excited he was about the plans that they had for the next Tron movie that never fucking happened.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
At JoeCon, I got to meet Morgan Lofting.
So cool.
Who is the voice of the Baroness. And Zach Hoffman, who is the voice of Zartan.
That dude is fucking awesome.
And he and I just had a couple little quick quips back and forth. But me and Morgan, we had the line got held up, so I was able to stand and talk to her for about you know, good 2-3 minutes, and just found out, like, oh yeah, you know, she lives in Southern California, and, you know, oh, what are you doing while you're in town here? And, you know, she's like, I was just pretty much up late drinking last night. We weren't even talking about G.I. Joe.
That's
just
cool.
Like, shooting the shit, and it was the best. So she's gonna be at the Temecula show in May, right?
Yeah, which is now in Lake Elsinore.
Elsinore. At Pins and Pockets.
Pins and Pockets.
That's the SoCal G.I. Joe and Toy Show.
That is on May 5th.
In Lake Elsinore, Lake California. Elsinore.
Yep.
Pins and Pockets. See us there.
Yes.
We'll be there.
We'll be there autographing, and no, we won't be autographing. We charge a lot for autographs.
Yeah, we charge. You have to come over and say hi and show us that you subscribe to the podcast.
Sure.
And we will sign anything you want.
Yes, yes, especially boobs.
I'll say no dicks.
No dicks. But, yeah, I'm excited about meeting her. But we met, you and I went to the, what was it, Long Beach Comic-Con or... What the hell was that little show? It was you, Jesse, and I. We all three went, and they had the G.I. Joe cast there. Michael Bell was there.
Oh,
Arthur
Burkhart
was there.
Yeah, Arthur Burkhart, who plays the voice of Destro. It was the very first show he'd ever done.
Yeah.
And now he's hooked and commands, like, top dollar. He's like, oh, there's a lot of money to be made here.
Yeah.
Oh, very Destro of him.
Very, very. But it was my birthday, and showed up there, and I had the my Destro figure on me, and... Arthur and I got to talking, and he autographed my Destro for me for my birthday. He wrote "Happy Birthday, Scott" on there. It was
nice,
really cool. Just a super nice guy.
Yeah, they had 5 or 6 of them there, and they did a script reading from one of the episodes, and that's why we went, because it was the first time so many of the G.I. Joe voice actors had been together.
Yeah,
and I don't think it was Long Beach Comic Con. I think I don't know. I don't remember. It was a very small.
It was smaller. In Long Beach.
Was it? Okay. Yeah.
So I wanted to meet Kevin Conroy, who did the voice of Batman, and the guy who did also the guy who was Robin. So for the animated series, I was so excited to do that. So I got them to autograph my Batman and Robin action figures, and then after I have them sign my autograph, that was fun.
Thanks, dickhead.
So after he signs my Robin action figure, come to find out he was also the voice of Barbecue in G.I. Joe.
Nice.
So I'm like, oh, shit, I should have brought my Barbecue figure.
Now I just want to murder this guy that cut in front of me in line.
He's more important than we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Little does he know he's being talked about on a podcast, listened to by dozens.
Hey, we should mention his license plate number.
I can't see it, actually. He's too fucking close in front of me because he cut me off.
Give me a little bit of distance. He's in a grayish-brown Chevy Silverado.
He's got a Guy Fieri pointy haircut.
Oh, yeah. This guy is styling.
And he's definitely wearing his
earbuds. 07974Y1.
So here's the thing I always wonder. You know, people take photos of, like, look at this douchebag, and then they like blur out the license plate.
I'm like, bring it, show the license plate.
Why? Like, you can't go to the DMV with a license plate number and just start getting information.
Yeah.
Like, what? Who are you protecting? You're protecting an asshole.
Yeah.
Also, like, it's somebody who deserves to be outed. So anyways, with the DMV.
Yeah, well, it's like the guys on the internet whenever they say something absolutely horrific and somebody takes a screenshot.
Oh, and whites out their name?
I'm like, no, don't white out their name. Fucking let everybody know just who this... I'm sitting here, waving my hands.
The gesticulation from Scott right now is crazy.
Like, let everybody know just what kind of a douche canoe this person is.
Exactly. I just left that as a comment on somebody. It was a female cosplay was like, hey, you know, keep an eye out for this guy. It was just a photo of, you know, all you could see is his profile photo, but his name was blocked out.
Don't,
like,
block out the name.
Like, show me his name. Let me know who I might also want to preemptively block or report once it comes up. Like, what the fuck? Ugh. Don't hide the assholes. Out them.
Exactly. And to let everybody know, we still got into the convention hall, or not the convention, we got into parking before the asshole in the truck. So
our pay attendee got us in and out, but before he did, we were side by side at different gates, and we got to go first and got back in front of him. And when we were coming in, for whatever reason, the parking lot attendant was like, "Oh, go down to the lower level. You can have the VIP parking." We're like, all right,
okay,
sure.
I guess cool.
They saw the NWA shirts.
That must be it.
Speaking of NWA, let's do business real quick, and then we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back after the convention and give our post-convention follow-up with some more memories. So find us on nerdswithattitudepodcast.com, where you can find links to all our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff. Or
you can also find us on rawlivepod.com. We're part of the Raw Live Unedited Network with other shows like They're Not Dolls and Who Will Survive and the Podcasting Dead and
Sarlacc Digest. A lot
and
of great shows over there. Make sure you go check all them out. Subscribe to all those shows. There's a lot of good content happening over there. Also, if you would like to, you can support us financially on patreon.com/nerdswithattitude. For as little as a dollar a month, you can get some bonus content and some cool freebies. Or not freebie, I guess you're paying for them, but swag and custom artwork if you want from Scott or one of the other artists that we have on staff.
Dave's a kick-ass action figure person. So
You can get a custom action figure if you want, any kind of stuff like that. So check us out, all those cool places, and we'll be back after this short break that you won't even notice. All right, so we're back. It's after WonderCon. We both walked like 15,000 steps.
Yes.
Because that's the kind of stuff you track when you're 40.
Exactly.
I'm not doing anything with the information, but I certainly am tracking it.
I'm tracking it.
Like,
yeah,
I've never gotten to like 10 o'clock at night and been like, oh, I'm like 1,000 steps short. I should go walk around the block real quick.
I got the Apple Watch, so there's the exercise counter on there, and it gives you like a half hour of exercise every day that you're supposed to do.
Right.
And if it's like a minute off, I will run around my house like a maniac and do some stuff.
All right. So we're not even talking about WonderCon.
Nope, sorry.
So I had a great time. What was your impression of the show?
You know what? I really liked it. It was... there was a lot of comic books, which is something that has been kind of lacking at San Diego for a while, is the number of comic book vendors there. But at WonderCon, they seem to bring the focus back in on the comics and not so much on Hollywood.
I mean, granted, to the overall floor space, maybe an eighth of it was comic books, if that. Or maybe a tenth. But still, it's a really large sales floor. Yeah. And it was a lot of comic books to choose from.
Yeah, especially there was they had the show floor itself broken down into thirds.
Right.
And one third of it was where it seemed like all the comic books were housed.
Yeah.
So you walk into that third, and it's just like comic book vendor. And
a lot of the old, graded, expensive collectible stuff. But also a fair amount of, cheap bins to dig through and just pull out stuff. So not too bad.
Yeah. Any particular vendors stick out in mind?
Oh, boy. I was not prepared for that question.
You weren't prepared for that? I really liked Yojo Depot.
Yojo Depot, he had enamel pins that he was selling of the OG 13.
Yeah,
and there's a photo of it on our Instagram if you want to check that out. The he's doing the whole set of 16 from 1982.
They're awesome.
And so you're gonna have to kind of follow him through different shows and conventions throughout the year to complete the whole set. So I think that's kind
of
cool.
It's pretty cool. And Jamie Sullivan did the artwork for a couple of them.
All of them,
if not all. Oh, he did all of them. Okay.
So, yep, Jamie Sullivan, G.I. Joe comic artist. I saw him. I got my commission that I paid for from him. He did a really cool Robotech G.I. Joe crossover comic book cover for me.
It looked amazing.
Where it's a Zentradi battle pod chasing down a Sky Striker that's armed like a Veritech with all the extra bombs and missiles on the wings and stuff.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool.
I don't know. I like his wife a lot. She's just so much fun to talk to.
Jen, I think it is?
I think so.
I can't remember.
She does not put up with shit.
Oh, God. She's awesome. She's a firecracker.
Yeah.
Shout out to her. I almost want... Let's just go hang out with her instead of Jamie.
Right.
A lot of the usual vendors with, like the steampunk booth and little arts and crafts and things like that. Nothing really stood out this time. It was like, wow, that's amazing.
I really liked the... number one, props to DC Comics having the Shazam suit and all that there to look at.
Oh, they
that
also
really
had
cool.
an interactive booth where you could go stand in front of a green screen and you yell Shazam and then start dancing around and it animates the suit on top of you.
Did it really? Mm-hmm. Is that what it...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Then they had, celebrating the 80 years of Batman, they had the different bat cowls throughout the movie years. So we had Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, Christian
The Michael
Bale.
Keaton one is starting to get the Yoda treatment to it. The rubber is degrading and starting to fall apart.
Yeah, I that was pretty sad. But, it all culminated in the one from Ben Affleck. And that's a really cool-looking cowl, but... That was kind of neat to see. There was one vendor there that was selling, I kept drooling over them, nerd jackets. They were like...
The Star Trek inspired in design.
Yeah, well, not just Star Trek, but there were some that were Battlestar Galactica designed.
Oh, I just thought it was from all the different Star Trek
franchises.
Oh,
no.
They were designed after.
They were designed after all the different nerd... there was Star Wars inspired jackets, the whole bit, but... Talk about expensive. They were, I think the small one, or one that would fit me was about $375, and I'm like,
Well, I mean, they're high-end tailored clothing.
It's not,
Ruby's costume clothing, jackets. Nothing against Ruby's, because, as much as Brian Buckley wants them to be our sponsor, they are not.
Nope.
But, we do use their props and costumes for stuff.
I paint them frequently, yes.
Yeah. A lot of cool. Artist Alley was great.
Shout out to Livio Remondelli.
Yep.
We actually have an upcoming Nerd Tunes, or it might have been past. Who knows?
Depending upon when you hear,
will it be upcoming? Okay.
Yeah, this will drop pretty much right away.
Okay, great. Livio Remondelli, he is Transformers artist. The dude is super friendly. Great artwork. Check him out if you're at a con.
I would also say that the small press section was huge.
Yeah,
there were so many small press books to check out. And Norm Harper was there with his book, and I missed him. I didn't see his booth. I was looking for him and must have walked right by him. Maybe he wasn't at his table when we walked by, so
maybe.
I didn't see him. But and then the Inland Blues Comics, Chris Thayer was there with his comic Grace and his other comic Rosalie, and apparently they were having a great show, and it was a good time for everybody. So
I was looking for War Machine, Coley, he's a friend of mine. He runs War Machine Marketing, and I didn't see him anywhere. Got a buddy who's a comic artist, Ramon Villalobos, and I didn't see him anywhere. It was busy, but
on a Sunday, it wasn't quite as busy as I heard. Saturday was shoulder to shoulder and was just miserable.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we went on Sunday. And props to WonderCon for the ease of getting in.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the hired security knew where to direct us and had information. It was a smooth transition from parking lot into the building, into badge pickup, into lanyard, and then straight to the line to get in. And then we didn't even wait in line super long. They even opened the doors like 20 minutes early.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
I was just
really
expecting to sit there or stand there for a while, but nope, let us in.
So good job. Ticket sales were relatively easy. You still have to go through Comic-Con's stupid, like, register with their website and then log into your account and then try and find the ticket sale link. Way too complicated still to buy a ticket, but the con itself was run really great.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And the security was actually friendly, which was, I don't know if it's Anaheim Magic over San Diego grumpy, but it was nice.
So I'd like to get back to talking about some con memories.
Sure.
I was looking through a Facebook feed and got a memory that about 5 years ago when G.I. Joe Retaliation came out.
Right.
We had done WonderCon that weekend, or like that day, like whatever it was. Like, it must have been a Friday or Saturday that the movie, probably a Friday that the movie came out.
Uh-huh.
So we did WonderCon all day in costume, in G.I. Joe costume, and then changed briefly and drove right across town to the local like Cineplex, AMC, and then did lobby greeting in costume.
Oh, that's cool.
For opening night of G.I. Joe. And so
that's
it was
cool.
Just like all goddamn day in costume, on your feet. It's like trooping back to back, and it was rough. But had a blast and was fun taking a bunch of photos of people coming into the movie. I'm not even sure we stayed for the movie that night. I think we were all so tired. They gave us free passes for doing the appearance.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm pretty sure we all just left and went and had dinner, and then all of us saw it like the next day.
Nice.
But yeah, that was a WonderCon that we went to. I'm trying to think of like smaller cons that we've been to, like JoeCon, which we've talked about a bunch.
Yeah, I never went.
It was always a lot of fun. Apparently, I was aware of JoeCon as far back as 2011, but didn't ever get to go until 2015.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's whenever the 25th anniversary hit and social media, or not even social media, was really that big at the time, but I was involved in the forums like HissTank and OG13 and all that. And everybody would always talk about going to JoeCon, and it's always back east or in the Midwest, and limited amount of money, limited amount of vacation time. It just never happened for me.
Yeah, I think in 2011, I was following it through HissTank as people were posting, and there must have been a live thread. So I was just watching what people were buying and some of the exclusives coming from it. And
getting kind of jealous over everything.
Man, I hope I can find. But also, this was before I started really heavily collecting the toys again.
Yeah.
And so I'm seeing these huge hauls that people are buying, and I'm like, man, I hope I can find some of that stuff myself someday. cut to, it's coming out of my ears now.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me see. Smaller conventions. I think I already talked about StarCon. That was really small.
I've gone to Phoenix Comic-Con once. That was a lot of fun.
Talked about the Long Beach Comic-Con already.
We've done Long Beach.
Yeah.
I don't think the Renaissance Fair counts as a convention.
Not really. No, man. For me, it was pretty much the big. Okay, so some of the smaller cons I've been to have been the ones in Vegas, I would say, like Las Vegas Toy Con. I've been to that one a couple of times.
We did a whole episode, 2 years ago from that show. And what a nightmare.
Yeah.
For me personally. The trip itself, you guys were fucking incredible. And
yeah, you had a rough time of it, though,
and,
man.
I think it bonded the four of us really well.
Yeah.
And and a hilarious episode, too. If you can go back and find that one. It's one that we're not actually allowed to make fun of Miguel for anymore.
Not anymore.
But definitely I would go back and find that episode. It's something like, 35, 40, something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah. It was a while ago. But I would check that. That show was all right.
I've been back to Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Comic Con a couple of times. Not the Toy Con. That was the last time I did the Toy Con. Mm-hmm. But Las Vegas Comic Con, I've been to that one a couple of times. And that one's fun, too. It's no big companies there like Marvel or DC or Warner Brothers or any. They're not there, but it's all comic book professionals and in Artist Alley, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And a lot of booths and vendors there selling comics and toys.
I just thought of something from WonderCon. I picked up a animation drawing. It's not an animation cell, but it's what they would have painted on top of the Baroness in disguise. I think it was from, what, the first episode?
The very first episode of G.I. Joe.
And so it's the Baroness in disguise, and she's touching her little transmitter earring. And it's signed by the original artist. And I'm going to go meet Morgan Lofting in May at the SoCal G.I. Joe Toy Show in Lake Elsinore.
Yes. At Pins and Pockets.
At Pins and Pockets. Shout out. And I'm going to have Morgan Lofting sign it also.
That's awesome.
And then I'll have like a nice cool little Baroness thing signed.
That's cool. Now, they had a couple of those drawings. And the other one was okay. But the one you picked up, man, that's the one. Had I seen it first, God damn it, I would have bought it.
Yeah, the other one they had, because of the angle of the character moving, she had kind of derpy face.
Yeah, derpy, like, big old nose. It looked weird.
That, so. Yeah. But that reminds me, excuse me, of a con memory. It was in high school. It was probably my very first time going to Comic-Con. So I probably was like 17, 18. I forget what I said earlier. Probably about 18, because I was driving. but still, a child. Like, right. I don't know what the hell I was doing. And they had a booth selling animation cells, and they were the actual painted cells. And I remember going through them, and I found one that was Pyro from the X-Men cartoon, which is still pretty huge at that time and
right.
I really liked as a kid. And the prices were like, you know, it would just say $125, $225, something like that. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. These are cheap. I don't know anything about animation cells, but I know there's thousands of them, so... You know, like I could have felt $2 for a little souvenir thing. So I pull the thing out and I go to the lady and I hand her my $2 and she goes, oh no, sweetheart, it's $125. And I damn near like backed away from the thing like it was on fire. Like I was like, oh my God, I don't have $125 and I want to ruin it. I'm like, you put it back. I don't want to touch it.
It's probably the same company that you just bought that drawing from.
Could have been. Yeah. Might have been. So that's a con memory.
Yeah. Trying to my I think the con memory that sticks out for me, one of my favorite con memories is just a random little thing. Julie and I were sitting down at Comic-Con eating lunch wherever you can. We're on the floor over in a little alcove.
That's what I would do at Comic-Con. Is I you pack a lunch.
Yeah.
And you find, like, the steps behind the convention center and just, like, find an empty step and sit down and eat your lunch.
Right. Well, we were actually inside the convention hall, inside of one of the alcoves where people usually line up and they form a line inside the little alcove. Well, there was nobody in the alcove, so we just sat down. We're eating our sandwiches. And a line starts forming kind of around us. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this dude. And he walks straight for us and steps right over our food and our lunch and just steps right between us. And I look up and it's Quentin Tarantino. We were in his way and he was having none of our shit. So it's just Quentin. I'm like, holy crap, that's okay. Bye.
Move your fucking PB&J.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do a Quentin Tarantino.
I don't either. It would probably be out of order anyway. I think he'd speak like Yoda or something, you know. You can't tell a story in sequential time.
Not related to cons, but I want to share my friend Casey's story because I think it's really cool. He went to film school because of Quentin Tarantino.
Really?
And when he graduated film school, it was being held in like the Hollywood Hotel or something like that. And as he's walking to his graduation, Quentin Tarantino came down the stairs because he was staying at the hotel.
Oh, that's cool.
And he got to kind of bump into him and thank him in person.
That's cool.
For like just like the timing of everything, kind of bringing the world together like that, I thought was always was very nice.
That's pretty neat.
So, other convention I've been to, not so nerdy, but I've been to NAMM a couple of times, which is the National Audio Marketers and Musicians.
I know
or something
what it
like
is.
That.
I'm kind of jealous of that. I wouldn't mind going to NAMM.
The problem is like I go for work, and the stuff I use for work is very very specific audio equipment. but most of NAMM is like pro audio for musicians and then a lot of instruments.
Right.
So there's not a lot there for me. I've also been to CES a couple of times, the Consumer Electronics Show.
Cool.
And that's I've been told it's the largest convention in the world for like attendance. Really? And like square footage. Like it's in Las Vegas and it's gigantic.
Huh.
And it's 4 days and like, I don't know, over 100,000 people go to it or something. It's intense.
Wow. Well, San Diego is like at 120,000 people now.
For Comic-Con?
Yeah, for Comic-Con.
Inside the convention center?
I don't know. Because that was the number I heard listening to an interview with the CEO of Comic-Con.
Hmm. I don't know. I don't know what the number is, but that's just what I was told. But yeah, Comic-Con, because they've now incorporated the city outside of the convention center as part of the convention.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That thing is got to be the biggest thing going.
The entire city, as you said, has been turned into some kind of nerd kingdom.
Every hotel convention center has something going on. A lot of the restaurants adjacent to the actual convention center are usually hosting something every day and every night. Like everybody local to that thing is capitalized in you know, like, yeah, CBS, come do a Big Bang panel here in my restaurant. Like, whatever, because it brings people in.
Petco Park, I remember there was one year where they had turned Petco Park, the baseball stadium, into the Walking Dead experience.
I think they did that twice.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it was kind of like your CrossFit conventions, but as a walkthrough in the baseball stadium.
Right. And I was very interested until I got the price. I'm like, I'm not that interested. So, but, yeah, just trying to get a fucking restaurant reservation in San Diego around the time of Comic-Con. Good luck.
Yeah. No, you just don't.
Yeah. So. You just don't eat. You don't sleep anywhere because you can't afford the hotel rooms. Just stay in your car if you can find a parking spot, which probably still costs you about $50.
The last it's time crazy. I went, parking was remote, but it was easy and affordable. And That's it was good. Just kind of a long walk to the convention center.
Hey, man, I remember going whenever you could still park under the convention center. And I remember getting those spots and thinking, hey, this is great.
Yep.
Nope, not anymore.
I'm not even sure they open that anymore. It's got to be just for, like, vendors and guests, the VIP guests and stars and stuff.
I remember the first year we drug Jesse, like he would really go kicking and screaming. We took Jesse and Francis, to Comic-Con with us. We stayed at this hotel right off the freeway. So you get off the freeway and you still have about 2 miles to get to the convention center through downtown streets, if not farther. And one of the artists of Legion of Superheroes at the time was staying in the same hotel. And Legion of Superheroes is one of my all-time favorite comic books. So it was really awkward and really weird, but we're all in and they serve free beer at this particular hotel. It was great. So we're all down there getting free beer, and we're talking to this guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, my name is so-and-so. I draw Legion of Superheroes, and I want to say it was Aquaman at the time, too, two of my favorite comic books. So he, as awkward as this sounds, nothing happened. Uh-huh. He invited us up to his hotel room, and he showed us pages for upcoming comics.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That was something I did at JoeCon, was go to somebody else's hotel room for, like, toy trading or buying something.
I really miss out on all that.
Super sketchy, though.
Yeah.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, Scott, come with me. I'm not going alone.
It's the Craigslist effect, you know?
Kinda. I didn't have any luck with room-to-room trading at JoeCon in Chattanooga, though.
No?
I had a pin-up board where you could list stuff you had for sale and what room you're in. And didn't find anything I was interested in, and every once in a while, somebody like, oh, up on the parking lot, this dude was selling shit out of the back of the trunk of his car. I'm like, well, where was I? Like, I was right here. Like,
got to be at the right place at the right time.
Yep. So,
no.
Well, I think I'm out of con stories. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I could probably go on, but I'd just be boring you and our listeners.
You're not boring me. I don't want to be just like, this one time I went to... it was more of a trade show.
No, I'm just... My fun stuff was meeting celebrities and stuff like that.
Any other celebrities you met? I saw Lou Ferrigno be an asshole once to a child.
Really?
Yeah, he was kind of a dick.
That sucks. I was in an elevator once with him, and it was just kind of awkward and silent.
Well, for him, anyways. Because, you know...
Boy, wow, yeah. You went there. David Prowse, got to meet him. That was cool. Mark Hamill once. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. Peter Mayhew, who was Chewbacca, not so much, not so friendly.
I saw him in person and didn't seem super
approachable. He was not interested at all in being anywhere there.
Oh, at the Pasadena show last year, Nichelle Nichols was there and got to talk to her briefly, and she was just a joy.
Yeah.
She was so nice.
She was just now here at WonderCon, mm-hmm. but just...
She had a bunch of people around
her. Yeah, a bunch of people. Didn't want to get near. I met Nichelle Nichols, God, 1996, something. At that Star Trek convention I went to.
You know what I didn't see at WonderCon, unless we just didn't happen to go down that aisle, was, like, the celebrity row of, like, old washed-ups looking for autographs.
There was a couple. We walked by Boomer from the original Battlestar Galactica. He was sitting there at his table. Not that you're washed up, sir.
Well.
But, and a couple of other empty tables.
Well, then if that was the case, they didn't have anybody really notable there as a celebrity autograph signing.
We did pass your buddy Rob Liefeld's table.
Yes, there was a very long line of Deadpools lining up to get autographs from Rob Liefeld,
him Liefeld, Liefeld, but I don't care. So,
who was at lunch, and but the line was forming for when he came back.
Shout out to all the cosplayers. There was some really cool cosplay there. There was a guy dressed in Deadpool in line with us, and he had the little magnetic eyeball or eye
patches. We were waiting to get coffee,
yeah.
And he had his eyes out.
Yeah.
And you could see that the eyes attached to his little mask helmet via magnets, and he had different eye expressions.
That was really clever.
Swap out.
That was really cool.
The girl he was with was dressed as Daryl Hannah from Splash.
That was awesome,
like,
too.
Deep cut, man. That was great.
It really was a deep cut. I wouldn't have caught on to it until some guy walked up and said, "Could I get your picture? Splash, right?" And I'm like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought she was really comfortable.
Yeah, just wearing a white t-shirt with her hair down.
But
there were some cool Nightmare for Christmas costumes I saw. Somebody was dressed as the mayor.
That was cool. There was a kid walking around dressed as Poe Dameron, and he had a little BB-8 with him. That was pretty cool.
Oh, I missed that one.
Okay. Didn't see a whole lot of really sketchy costumes, which, you know, the really revealing ones.
I saw
ones.
One Did that you? I refused to take a photo of.
Okay.
It was Magneto.
Oh, God.
Helmet,
oh.
Cape.
Yeah.
And an H-harness strap with a codpiece, and that's it.
Yeah.
Just his full-ass hairy body
with
a codpiece, and that was it. And I reject it wholly. I don't support it.
Nope.
It was hard to look at.
Oh, don't like that at all.
And you keep that to your furry convention, sir.
And we kept seeing him, too. He kept walking
by. I know.
It was ridiculous. They did have a couple of little homemade, like, backdrops that you could go stand in front of. One was the Endor bunker from Return of the Jedi. That was really cool.
Yeah, the 501st was there, and they had their displays and stuff to take photos with. There was a Stargate gate to pose in front of.
And I had made the comment to you early on that I remember when seeing a stormtrooper, somebody in stormtrooper armor back in the day was like, holy shit, this is amazing. This guy made a stormtrooper costume. That's fantastic. And now there's one on every corner.
Yep.
Except for the Death Trooper. There was somebody dressed as a Death Trooper, and I don't see many of those. That was pretty cool. And I noticed a lot of people dressed now in the Krennic from Rogue One costume, just in different colors. I saw a brown one, a green one, and a black one. Yeah.
All right.
But none in white.
I did see a Mary Poppins Deadpool. No, I'm not Mary Poppins. It was a Doctor Who.
Doctor Who Deadpool.
Deadpool.
I saw Gary Poppins. There was a guy dressed as Mary Poppins with the beard.
The male Mary Poppins.
Yep,
we called him
funny.
Gary Poppins.
I did, yeah. I'm trying to remember if there was a lot of Deadpool.
Not as much as normal.
No, there was a couple Harley Quinns in various forms of dress or undress.
I had to kick my own ass because I recognized a Fortnite costume. Taking away my own nerd card.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. But that was pretty much it.
Yeah, I think the heavy costumes are on Friday and Saturday. That's when you can't go 2 inches without bumping into some princess or something. But
yeah, it was really nice though that there wasn't a whole lot of traffic stopping for photo ops and all that. So,
very few.
Yeah.
So all right.
Yep.
Well, We hope you enjoyed our trip to WonderCon. If you were there, give us a shout out. Let us know what your favorite thing at WonderCon was this year, or drop us a comment on what your favorite convention is that you've been to. And we would love to know. Send us a pic or a heads up.
Give us all the gory details.
Yes. Let us know what naked Magneto you saw.
Just got a shiver, not in the good way.
And you can do that by following us on any of our social media. We're links to it, them. Sorry, I got con crud setting in.
Yeah.
I'm tired. My feet are killing me. NerdsWithAttitudePodcast.com. Links to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Let us know your favorite con. You can also support us financially if you would like through patreon.com/nerdswithattitude. Help pay for supporting and
our hosting. All that
I'm
stuff.
I'm telling you, man, brain is fried. Hosting and microphones and then that kind of stuff. Get yourself some cool swag and who knows what. Original artwork if you want. We have our own artist alley where Scott can send you some artwork.
Or Dave. Dave's a great artist as well. He makes action figures.
Dave's got some hidden talent, man. I'm trying to draw it out of him. No pun intended.
Hey, he fights it more than I do.
Also,
you can find us on the Raw Live Unedited Podcasting Network, rawlivepod.com, with other shows like Sarlacc Digest, Hoth Topic, They're Not Dolls, The Podcasting Dead. Who Will Survive.
And many more.
Many, many more.
I got to get a list in front of me when we do this.
That'd be a good idea. Well, no, because, you know, we're driving.
Well, all right, you
I could read
list.
It, yeah.
So check them out, and I think I'm going to go ahead and turn in my badge at this point, and Scott, keep it nerdy.
Keep it nerdy.